Each of our lives is a story. And with each new person we meet, we become a part of their story and they become a part of ours. The God who created the universe has somehow woven together these billions of stories into one story, which is the greatest story ever told.
Greetings. Welcome to From the Rock Podcast. My name is Daniel, and this is our fifth episode. I'm so grateful that this has come together. It has been months and months of prayer. But in this episode, you are going to hear the testimony of Dave and Danny, who are mentioned in my testimony, which is the first episode of From the Rock Podcast. So without any further ado, I play the interview. To start this off with prayer. Father God, I thank you so much that here we are, Lord. I praise you for the miracles you have got. You have proven yourself so true in the last, Lord, in the last decade, in the last 6 months. Father, you have moved. Father, we glorify you. I say hallelujah, the highest praise to you, Jesus. You are on the throne. There is none beside you, Father. Lord, I just ask you to fill this room. Send your Holy Spirit here, Lord. We invite you, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to fill this room, to blow through us, to speak through us as we testify of you, Lord, and your glory in our lives. Lord, I just pray that you would put words on our lips, Lord, that you would speak forth, that you would fill these brothers, Lord, with your presence.
And Father, you know, I know the days ahead are going to be a battle, Lord. And I pray that my battle is not flesh and blood. Lord, we battle against spirits and principalities and powers. And Father, I just pray that you would equip me. Father, I'm so thankful that I'm to the two Dans, Lord. Brother Danny Day, Lord, just our friendship, Lord, our brotherhood. We've been friends, Lord, in Christ, out of Christ, there, you know, all the way through, Lord. He is my brother. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that he's here. And I just pray you bless him, Lord. Give him the words, Lord, to speak tonight. This testimony is so important, Lord. You allowed us to see these things as a testimony, Lord, to tell the world of your glory, God. And just pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us and surround us, Lord. And just to unite the brotherhood, Lord. Just to fill our hearts with the brotherly love. And just that we'd encourage each other, Lord, and build each other up. And just so thankful and for Brother Dan Humber, Lord, for his renewal and being restored and salvation, Lord, and for the work that he's doing, Lord. He feels a deep calling, God, to get this message out to people. We know your kingdom's coming. We know it, Lord, and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, you want to
see, you messed up. You should have recorded that.
I am. Oh. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Well, cool. I'm really glad to be here with you guys. This has been months in the awakening.
Amen.
So, Dave, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners so they can know your voice?
My name is David Meltz. Hello.
And Danny, you too, please.
Daniel Dave. Hi.
Awesome. And I'm Daniel Humbert, and I am the host of From the Rock Podcast. And for all these listeners, all you listeners that have heard the first episode, which is my testimony, you'll know these guys by first name. I mentioned them both. And so, unfortunately, Danny, you haven't heard my testimony, but in my testimony, I come to that point in my life when I was out in Wautoma before the Lord had moved on me, and you had come back from Florida. Do you remember that night?
Yes, I do.
I was hounding you about Dave and what had happened in Florida. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, where you were at and how you responded to my line of questioning?
We were in Gainesville, and you came up to Wautoma, and some of my friends said they met some people at Ray Granite Quarry, and you all came over to my house, and we ended up going to a lake, a bunch of us, and tried to get me off to the side and ask me what happened, and I was like, I don't want to talk about it.
Do you remember telling me that that Dave had become a Bible thumper?
No, I don't.
Yeah. That was one of the things you said.
It's all right, bro.
No.
You also told me, what initially grabbed my interest so much was you had said that something crazy happened.
Yeah.
And you said that I wouldn't believe you, it was out of the Twilight Zone.
I told you you would never believe me.
Yeah. So really that night what was holding you back was you didn't think I'd believe.
I didn't want people to think I was crazy about what I saw.
Yeah. honest.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's incredible.
Okay, well, let's move forward here, Dave. You know, not many months after that, you know, you came back from Florida, and you went to my house on 6th Street there, and I had just got back from work. You know, you grabbed me up in that big van, and, you know, you really did start off slow that night. We went out to my friend Aaron's house for the bonfire first.
That's right, yeah.
Then we went to Perkins. So we're at Perkins there, and you're sharing the gospel with me for the first time. Right. Okay? Do you remember how I was? How was I responding to you sharing the gospel with me?
Well, I think that you were open. You know, you seemed to be somewhat intrigued. You know, of course, I didn't know what you were thinking. You could have been thinking like, "I want to get out of here," but you were giving ear. You were giving me your ear. You know, you were listening, asking questions, things of that nature.
Yeah, I remember you saying some things, and I was like, I don't know, man. I remember wanting to talk to you about it, but at the same time, I remember feeling like, what happened to Dave?
Oh, yeah. There was obviously that element there, for sure. But I thought that would be kind of natural, you know, from my perspective. I thought it would be pretty natural that you would be responding that way, but, you know, to be honest, you know, it's, if I could remember all of it in detail, there's probably some parts of it I don't,
because it's been like... This was 1999.
1999, so, but I remember the gentleman.
Well, actually, it was the fall of 98.
Yeah.
It was the fall of 1998.
I seen you the second time I came back from Florida.
Okay. I didn't know which time was which.
It was the second time I came back. Because the first time after I came back from Florida, I like avoided people.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I could see, you know, and then I kind of...
Backslid. You can be honest here. There's going to be people listening to this. You know,
Trying to figure out in my head, you know, why I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what was strange is I would always try to, I'd run into Danny, you know, periodically, and I would always say, it'd be like one of those moments where I'd say Danny, and it'd be like we'd be in the car and I'd say Danny, you know, and I'd say, look, hippie. I'm like, dude, how many people have experienced that? Or how many people have, you know what I'm saying? Dude,
okay, well, let's move forward.
You know what I mean? So, and then he'd be like, he wouldn't talk about it because it was too heavy for him.
Well, this is the breaking point here, because this is the point of my testimony where I left this out because it was too much for me to retell. I didn't experience it. You two did. Okay, so Dave, we're in Perkins. Mm-hmm. You're sharing the gospel with me. Right. I stop you. I go, hey, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Danny out with Toma, and he told me something crazy happened.
Right.
And when I asked you, you kind of sat back in the booth,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of sighed, mm-hmm. and I kind of felt you, I literally thought, oh no, he's not going to tell me either. That was the first thing I saw, but then you opened up, and I want you to share, right now with me and with all the listeners, what it was that happened with you, and you guys can just take the floor here and tell the story, and I may interject, ask questions, but just go ahead and start off wherever you want to start off, maybe, and when you first went down there together.
Well, okay, initially I probably sighed. I just want to lay this foundation real quick. I probably sighed because I think I struggled a little bit with the same thing Daniel did. You know, it's when something of a supernatural thing happens, it's you worry about if people are going to doubt you. Or and then I probably thought about, well, where were you at? Were you even converted? Are you going to be...
How am I going to respond to this?
Are you going to respond to this? And, you know, I didn't want to cut cords off. I'm just going to tell you exactly what happened from my perspective as I remember in detail.
Yeah. Go start it out.
I'm going to start from the beginning a little bit about how Danny...
Lay a foundation because you guys...
Yeah.
From what I remember, you became... When you went to Florida...
I wasn't going down there to be no Christian.
And you guys weren't Christians. I wasn't a Christian. You guys were Christians.
Right. I had a faith when I was young, you know, and all those things, but I didn't have a lot of the word in me or anything like that. But
yeah, we all lacked the word.
We lacked the word, and so I didn't really know God's will or anything like that. But I had faith, as far as that was concerned. So here's how I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start from when I was in Red Granite when you came to pick me up in the Cougar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boy, I could even go before that, how I got into that situation.
Well, we can always make another episode.
Another testimony about that. I'm gonna start when I was 18 years old.
Okay.
I was emancipated at 17, so I was on my own. I was into the partying lifestyle and just everything like that, and I was just a lost person. I would remember, in fact, at Rio Grande, I remember being at a party and everybody would be doing their thing, and I'd get this overwhelming feeling of loneliness, and I'd separate myself from everybody. And I didn't know what it was, but I always had this overwhelming feeling like I wanted to cry. I was really empty and, everything like that. And I had some cousins, Raphael and Angel, and my cousin Audra. And I had heard through the grapevine, through my family, that they had come to salvation, or that they basically, the family said they had found Jesus. And so their lives were changed, and they were really on fire. And I didn't even really know what those terms necessarily meant, but, I was like, okay, cool. And because they were heroin addicts and stuff like that, and, they were doing heroin and doing all that, and all of a sudden they were clean and, loving the Lord. And so, and at that point in my place, I had this suitcase that I would always carry around because I used to love to write poetry, I had all these poetries, and I always had this old Bible in there. I don't know why it was in there, but I always had it in there, but I just never really looked at it. So I remember being in Rio Grande at this trailer at a park, and hearing all this about my cousins, I remember I had called them and they had told me, hey, if you can get down here, you can come down here and stay with us.
Where's down here?
Florida.
Okay.
And so I could already, looking back on it, I could already see how the Holy Spirit was already beginning to prod me and to work, to send my life in another direction. So, basically I had called them and I said, hey, I'm really interested in coming down there. Cause I was curious too. Like, they sounded really different and happy, just these really, joyful people.
Yeah.
So I remember after I got done, I'm like, how am I, cause I was broke. I was a vagabond pretty much. You know what I'm saying? I was just crashing out and doing that whole thing. And I really was kind of estranged from my family, and at that I burned all my bridges by that time, pretty much, because just lying and doing things of that nature, and not necessarily lying, but just my lifestyle. I just was partying all the time, and
money burns up real quick.
And just involved in different things. So anyway, to I'm gonna try to shorten this up. After I had talked to them, it was like a seed planted, and it kind of gave me a consciousness of God at that point. And so I went in the room where I had that suitcase, and I pulled out the Bible that was in the suitcase with all my poetry. And it's funny because I remember you telling your testimony. I remember opening up this Bible, right? And I don't know where I opened it up to, but I started reading it, and none of it made sense. Like, what is Ephesians? What is... Not these words were all foreign to me, and it was like a foreign language, and I'm like, the heck with this, and I'm like, I didn't throw it to the side, but I was like, okay, God. It was one of these real, like, just honest, sincere prayers for where I was at. And I said, Lord, if you can hear me, I really think it would be good if I go to Florida. Could you provide a way? I don't have any money to get down there. And I just said this, I just shot this prayer up asking about if I'd get to Florida, because I was 1,000 miles away, no vehicle. And so the very next day, this is the very next day, I hadn't seen my buddy Danny for a while. Like, it had been, months at that time?
Yeah.
It had been Bay
Street. We were all kicking it out of Bay Street.
Yeah, Bay Street.
And then that got kicked out. We all kind of got scattered to the winds. And I didn't see one of you. We tried to keep in touch,
but he was over there, and we were miles apart, and I didn't have no vehicle. But he came, and he sought me out. It was the very next day, and I see this... Cougar pull in. I didn't recognize the vehicle, and Danny at that time had gotten his inheritance, from his grandpa. Your grandpa Reuben, and he had bought a vehicle and he had some money, and he was kind of the flashing thing, and he showed up, and I'm standing outside when he showed up. I was just standing in the yard, and all of a sudden this car pulls in, and I'm looking, and I can't figure out who it is. I'm thinking maybe it's the cops or something. I'm about ready to split. Oh my gosh, and he pulls in. And Danny is in his demeanor, he rolls the window down, and I see it's Danny, and I'm like, hey, what's up, brother, you know? And he's like, and I'll never forget, he's like, hey, what are you? I said, hey, what are you doing, man? And I'm like, nice ride and all that. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going on a road trip. I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, where are you going? And he looks at me in the stern word, and he says, Florida. I'm like...
There's a whole reason.
Yeah, there was a whole reason for that. God works everything together for the good. But, I mean, the very next day after I prayed, I had no idea. He comes and says, yeah...
Well, do you want to quick just share briefly why you wanted to go to Florida?
I think you had an affection towards...
No, it wasn't all that. My brother...
Oh, your brother was on the run from the law. Yeah,
he was on the run for the law. And I was like, my brother's like, I got to get it. I was like, let's go.
So
why Florida, though?
Just someplace different, you know?
Someplace warm.
Well, and there wasn't...
It was on your heart.
Daniel had kind of a little affinity towards my cousin Audra. Let's be honest here.
There's no reason
to... Okay. And she was a Job's daughter, man. She was one of the fairest. Mm. You can... So, but there was that element. He knew she was down in Florida, too, you know? So, but anyway, it all correlated. It was just amazing because I had forgotten at that point that I had asked that
prayer. Thank you for me and Dave going to Florida,
yes.
Audra.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
The Lord uses mysterious things. Okay, so he's in the Cougar. Mm-hmm. He says he's going to Florida. You?
I'm like, well, at that particular point, there was a million things going on, but I'm like, I'm down, man. Can I come? You know, I wanted to, you know, I said, hey. So right after that, I mean, do you want complete, blatant, blunt honesty all the way through? Or
yes.
Can I, or should I, the detail?
If you want to protect people's names, that's fine, but... Listen, there's blunt honesty.
Well, okay, so I had went back in and called back down to Florida and told them that, hey, I got a ride. And they, right off, automatic off the bat, Audra and Alvin I said, hey, there's like five of us, you know, because they invited us to come down there. And they said, hey, we'll get you, we'll, you know, come down and visit. We'll hold you guys up. You know, they didn't know anything about these guys or what was going on.
They were opening up,
and I think they were maybe at that time, looking back on it, the Holy Spirit had maybe touched their hearts, or, you know,
to reach out
or whatever. So I came back and told these guys, because really they were going aimlessly. They didn't really even know where they were going. They were just headed, you know, to the border. I mean, if you could put it like that, you know, get out of Dodge.
Get out of the state. Okay.
Yeah, and his brother really wasn't a major thing when you look back on it, but at the time, you know.
I've known plenty of people.
Yeah.
Should I leave stuff out? Or?
Well, so... Right. Well, because we're our minds. So basically, I come back out and tell these guys, I'm like, I got a place we can stay. They're like, really? There's like, because, you know, like I said, we're going aimlessly. And I said, yeah, my cousins are in Gainesville, Florida. And I said, they're Jesus freaks. You know, I remember telling them that. And these guys didn't really, you know, anything at that time was like, you know what I'm saying?
Florida.
It was Florida and a place to, it was a pillow and a place to crash. So.
With a bunch of Christians.
Yeah, with some Christians. And that's funny, too. That's funny. Yeah. He was a believer.
We believed.
But we
just didn't know the word.
We just didn't know the word and understand the depths of God's spirit and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, genuinely, we believe. We were entangled in some things, but, anyway, so I tell these guys, and they're totally down for it. You know what I'm saying? And so we ended up, it's funny, I got to put this in here because it may seem, and Danny will remember this, it may seem pointless, but I'll tell you how God's Spirit, you know, I used to like to smoke a lot of marijuana at that time. And I'm not, that is what it is. So I wanted to go get some marijuana for the road, and so we knew this hippie out in the boondocks.
No, it's good. Honestly,
we drove way out of our way to go get. And this guy was like this guy where like you could he wasn't no drug dealer like you trying to make money. He was like you could throw him $20 and he said go out to the shed and take a garbage bag out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's how it was. And so that's what we did. And so the point I'm making here, though, just to already show you how my mind and my heart, it wasn't even about the marijuana or anything like that. It was just this need, this drawing that was taking effect in my life. I liked smoking marijuana and all that. We scored the best pot that we could score at that time, you know, that we could afford. Nobody, you know what I mean? Like, we were all, I mean, we were happy just to get some merch, you know, some merch or whatever. You know what I mean? So this stuff was, like, great, and this is a long ride. And then I know it sounds crazy, but we started driving down and everything like that. And I remember, do you remember about halfway down?
Yeah,
I'm
my
like,
car.
his car, but let me just finish. I said, no, with the marijuana, I said, because they were all passing, there's this marijuana pipe down because we're driving. And I said, all of a sudden, man, I just didn't have any desire. I said, dude, I remember I looked at you and you were driving. I said, Danny, I'm going to meet Jesus. I remember I just said that. I didn't even realize necessarily what I was saying, but my heart, like I was thinking about my cousins and all what they had shared with me. And
you seeing the profound change because I'm coming off heroin and
yeah, all that. And I was in a deeper place than that. It's not that I was trying to say, oh, bad marijuana. It was that my heart, I was crying for something more. Like mm-hmm. that wasn't gonna.
I'm no longer satisfied.
Yeah, and so I was getting drawn at that particular point. And didn't even realize it.
I thought you were getting legalistic.
He thought, he probably thought, like, what the heck is going on?
No, with just it? Now I was like, oh no, we're not gonna go into this.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. He thought I was gonna start, you know, going on a tirade. No. I'm just saying that was what was going on. And so, anyway, to make long story, we get down to Florida, and I don't think they really knew. They were cool. Audra and my cousin, they had two apartments down there, and they were like right in the hood, you know, like right in the ghetto of Gainesville. Like when we rolled in, there were people jumping on our cars and the whole nine yards. I mean, it was
no I'll joke. Say it. They thought we were the crazy white people. They that thought lived we're, in that, yeah.
Yeah. Like there was it, there was no Caucasian people or anything. Not that, I'm just saying that's what it was. It is what it is. So they looked at us like, whoa.
Out of town.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. what's going on? Here we come with Wisconsin plates. And that's a funny story.
They thought people from Wisconsin were nuts. You know, nobody from Gainesville, they wouldn't have lived.
They all go to Ocala or something. That's where all the...
Yeah, yeah. What are we doing coming down south, you know? But anyway, so I'm like, wow, okay, this is where they live. Cool. And they all come out and they're all...
They're all cool with us.
Yeah, they were all cool. We'd grow out with them later on. We had all the kids over. I mean, it eventually became cool, but... So we get the address and we show up at my cousin's. Like they, like, hey, we weren't kidding around. We were down there like the next day. You know what I'm saying? So we're here, and they're like, they come out, and Angel and Raphael had this like 3-bedroom, and Audra I think had a 2-bedroom, and so they come out and they're looking. They see this car full. Okay,
they trip down. There's another story.
Yeah, yeah, that's all. Yeah, I know. But that's funny. But so we get out. We knock on the door. I'm like, hey, you know, hugs and all that kind of stuff, and then they look out and they see that there's all these other people, and so then they must have said, let your yay be yay, you know, basically, like, we told them that we would hold them up, so Audra ended up leaving her apartment, moving right out of it, basically, not necessarily, after they got to know the situation, she actually gave up her apartment and gave it to all of us, mm-hmm. and she moved in with her sister and Raphael,
okay. mm-hmm.
and paid the rent.
And aren't these next door?
Yeah, they're next door,
okay.
and paid the rent for the first month. And she was very, they were very gracious, but they were also very, resolute about Christ. Like they were very, you could tell when you got around them, like, whoa, like these, they're serious about their faith.
This is the way.
Yeah. This is, they didn't pull no punches with that. And like I said, Danny and I both, we had faith in everything. So we thought in our minds, like we were kind of appeasing them, you know, we could kind of just like, oh yeah. And then we dip out and want to go do our own thing. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
and they weren't falling for none of them. We thought we had them kind of duped, like, you know, you get the situation, like, oh, it's like, cool, you know, wow, he gets to play. And his brothers and everybody like, wow, man, they just gave us an apartment and everything, you know? And, but when push came to shove, you know, it came with a condition. You know, they just weren't going to let anybody just come there and do it. They had a mission that was to bring us the gospel and to bring us the good news and to confront us and they had a purpose.
Okay.
Anyway, so that was the foundation of how we got down to Gainesville, Florida. So anyway, we moved into this apartment, and sure enough, it didn't take long. They were at our door. You know, knock and wanting to share the Lord and just, you know, get kind of feeling ourselves and what was going on with our situation. They didn't come hardcore too much, except for my cousin Raphael and Angel.
I was going to bring that up, but I didn't know.
Let Danny say something here. Danny.
You can tell we're telling the truth because you already know where he's going.
Well, no, add in here. Now, Dave, take a break for a second.
Okay.
Danny, tell a little bit more about where you were at in all this.
Where I was at and all this?
Or just what you wanted to share about with Raphael and how the Lord was.
Oh, they were pretty legalistic. And they get later part, and I don't know if we're going to get that far into it, me and Dave started reading Paul.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, what about this? And what about this?
Yeah.
And what about this? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. You mean Paul is in the New Testament writer?
Yeah, the Apostle Paul. Yeah, we started just investigating. Well, go ahead. You can share.
You were investigating what their claims were about Christianity.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Paul is a real dude, man. He's,
Mm-hmm.
You can't argue with Paul.
No, you cannot.
I mean, it's the, Holy Spirit, it's the truth.
Yeah, so, because they were kind of entangled in a, I don't want to say a cultish thing, because I
pet believe, scripture thing.
A pet scripture thing, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Exactly, they had built a sect of, around one particular scripture.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so
you can be feel the shit. People like to think about these things, especially on podcasts. I mean,
well, right, right.
I'm not trying to call anyone out here, but.
Yeah, I'm not trying to call any particular, you know, obviously, my belief is that there's one body. There's one faith, one Lord, one God, one Father, mm-hmm. And you know, there's and there's so many different things that I think once you put a name or a label, I understand people just want to call things.
Oh, you're a Paul. You're a Paul.
You're of Cephas. You're of Apollos, and that's the same. It's just wears another mask nowadays. Yeah. It's you're Presbyterian. You're Baptist. You're this. You're that. Yeah. And it is doctrinal divisions and schisms that are operating pretty. Okay. Satan is really.
I think you answered that point. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what was. They were of a particular sect of Christianity. You know, they were very strict in their adherences as far as dress and, you know, music. I remember they had us right away. We were throwing everything, all our music out, all our secular music. You know,
smashed my favorite.
He smashed his favorite, you know, and all that. And we were genuine. We weren't feeling forced. We were just like, okay, you know, we want.
It can be problematic to do that to people before they become Christians.
That can prevent
their conversion.
Yeah. You can't force. God has to show you.
Okay.
There's a really good podcast on the Revelation Radio Network, and the brothers on this episode I was listening to, they talked about this belief that some people have that they have to get cleaned up first,
right,
and then go to Jesus. Mm-mm. And these guys said, no, you just go to Jesus.
Right.
He'll clean you up.
Yes.
And then some ministries do that where they try to clean up the person.
Right.
Before God loves Jesus.
You. You know, Jesus loves you. He'll work with you.
The Holy Spirit will bring the cleansing. Praise God. So, Dad, let's touch on that. Well, we touched on that. So they're witnessing to you. You know, you guys are investigating the New Testament.
Yeah.
How long did it take?
Well, Dan was beginning to have issues. Maybe he was a little more. Dan was probably a little more, I guess, had been a little more associated maybe with the church than I was. So he was already beginning to have a reservations issues about some of the. He wanted Jesus. There's no doubt, man. He was in love with the Lord, but he didn't want the refrigerator on the back. He didn't want all the other burdens that they wanted to,
legalism,
especially where we were at, because we were ignorant towards the certain things. But
we're talking about women must wear long dresses and must have long hair.
Guys can't have long hair.
Yeah, real. I mean, come on. That Snitters. Got thrown out with the New Testament, you know, pretty much, I think, in a sense.
Well, I think.
It did.
Well, with the whole long hair, when I became a Christian, sidetrack, I cut all my hair off when I read that verse in Corinthians. Mm-hmm. I forgot to study the rest of the verse where it says, but in our churches we have no such custom.
Mm-hmm. What, a guy with the foreskin isn't going to go to heaven? You know, come on.
Yeah, no. Circumcision is not salvation.
But
Paul said that, you know. Like,
so I understand Dan's point. We were not in no place at that. But let the Holy Spirit form convictions in us. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
But we were seeking God.
They were trying to throw all their convictions on us. Maybe this is a lesson for people out there.
Oh, absolutely.
They were trying to throw everything at us, but it seemed like Jesus. You know, do this, do this, do this, do this, do
all
this.
All the works.
All the works and do this. And I started feeling, because when they came, I was like, amen, I had repented well, I'll get to that. I don't want to get sidetracked. But anyway, so you get this situation,
yeah,
what's going
we're
on.
We're at a good level here, yeah.
Okay, so basically, I think all five of us ended up getting baptized in the pool, right?
Dude, no, it was only me, you, and Russell.
Oh, yeah, Andy and your brother didn't.
They were I ain't buying it.
They had a lot of trouble with. They were
they
open.
They went to that church.
They went to the church. They checked it out.
Was this Brother Arnold's church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just were not. It was too.
And he's. I mean, that guy.
He's an intense preacher, man.
Yeah, he is, but.
He's a spirit-filled preacher. He's a great preacher. I love him. I have a fond love for him.
I do too.
Yeah, and I know Danny too. Brother Arnold wasn't like that. If you really listen to his messages, you know, no, he may have gotten tangled.
Not the message I've heard.
Yeah, I don't think he liked that.
I think
that.
It was more the people.
It was the denomination.
The denomination.
It was UPC.
The yoke that had certain yokes. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
There's yokes on denominations. I felt yokes when I came up in the Kojic church.
So he had to belong to the group.
Yes.
Right, and you have to believe everything we believe exactly how we believe it, and it got to that point where we're kind of the special ones, the only ones. Is the way it kind of felt like we have the truth, we have all of the truth.
I felt guilty when I wouldn't put money in the dish when I go around. Mm-hmm. You know, like really guilty. You know, like
the tithing thing is pretty heavily pushed. Hard.
Well, yeah, but I felt like. Oh, did everybody just see that? You know, I shouldn't care what they think. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, one could argue the plate shouldn't be being passed publicly.
Yeah.
One would argue the plate should be in the back of the room and everyone should make their offerings privately.
When and wherever. It shouldn't be a day or it should be
a show.
Hey, we used to go and buy people. Like, remember we took to Perkins, buy coffee for somebody or, you know.
Here we go. Now
food
we're getting somewhere.
buy somebody food.
Okay.
You know, that's tithing in itself. You don't have to give to the church. To the place.
Jesus
said,
"If you give unto the least of these,
grab somebody out on the street, you know, or that doesn't have anything, you know, that's true tithing. That's somebody that needs it."
Yeah,
you know?
And we felt that when we had gotten, you know, because we both got baptized at that point. We were really him and I. We fell in love with the Word. We started reading. Him and I would be sitting up all day.
We didn't have a TV.
We didn't have a TV.
Man.
Nothing.
Read a book at night.
We really. And we began, and then we started going to the church, and we were getting good word there. I mean, great. I mean, awesome. I mean, it was a great ministry. And so, what that did in us then is it was that newfound faith that we're born again. I mean, we really felt the love of God. We really
the power,
felt the power of God. We really, man, our perspective, and it's like our eye. We started seeing, even like he was saying, the homeless people. We started seeing people in a whole different perspective. Mm-hmm. Like God loves these people.
It's like. You know, the scales are taken off your eyes. You can see the world for what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember.
It's scary.
Right away we get
like,
tested.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yep.
So we started.
Well, we started going. Once we started getting off, we started going down. Him and I had this thing. We started going down to, you know, whether it was just a youthful itch or whatever. We were feeling on fire and we wanted to tell people.
Can
what
I
to
just
look.
Throw something in there? We were on fire. We went and spray painted a wall. You know,
with scriptures, you know, down at the. I mean, so you
it's
can get
where
the,
you can't spray paint down.
Oh no, legal graffiti walls are all over the place.
Yeah, you could spray. Right. I remember we wrote some scriptures of Samuel, and so you get the context of where we were at. Like we were,
I recognize it easily because when I was first saved, I had the same fire.
Oh, totally. Like we'd be out, you know,
new believer
yelling out the car. You know, Jesus loves you to just you know
Christianus.
Yeah, you hear Christianus. What I mean, we you know just that kind of, just that kind of thing. So. Anyway, so should we kind of steer towards what happened now?
I mean, if you're ready, you guys, obviously at this point you guys have had conversions, you're on fire for the Lord, and so you're reaching out and sharing the Lord. So what happens? Well, I mean, this big event here is what twisted my life around.
I just got to throw this in there. Remember Perkins with the gay guys always, it's like they were drawn to us because they wanted to hear what we have to say.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, we felt.
You want to elaborate?
Well, I don't know. Like, they come up and start talking to us, and I remember that one night they're like, oh, trouble and pain. I don't know, because we tell them, you know, what you're doing. That's not of God what you're doing, you know.
Because they say that they believed in the Lord and all that.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah.
Particular guys.
And it's like, no.
And we're young believers at that time. We started wanting
it's
to.
It's easy to point out the open sin when we still have sin.
I know what you're saying, but.
I think we had a genuine childlike love.
You had a love for him. You wanted to say to him, hey, look.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
God
I'm not going
to
judge anybody, but we told him, you know, it's not right.
Yeah,
if we don't tell him, who will? I mean, that was kind of the.
You guys, yeah, a lot of people would have kept their mouth shut in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay, Perkins, and then you're still sharing.
Okay, yeah. So we had a lot of things start happening to us. I remember we were sitting it was actually. I got to correct the record here. It was actually Denny's.
It's Denny's the event.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it written down in there?
He mentioned for
that's amazing.
Homosexuals
you got
it. Coming
in. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we're sitting in there at the table, and it's just amazing how things started working. All of a sudden...
We're sitting at the bar, the... Where they
counter
eat the food counter.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the particular event, but before that, no, we're getting that. You got that written down. That's great, though. That's how exactly where we were. We were sitting at this table, we were on the window. You remember when the guy came and banged on the window?
Yeah.
The blind guy? Yeah. There was a blind black man that came up through the bushes and was knocking on our window. And this ain't to blow the horn or blow anything, but this is to just share how God already begins to work when you really, you know what I'm saying, things begin to happen like that. Like, okay, this would have never happened, you know, if we didn't commit our lives to Christ at that time. But, and we're sitting here looking, we have this big plate of food, you know, and you could tell this guy was homeless, you know. And so, just to show you where we, the just the childlike zeal at that time, we didn't care what people thought. So we just said, hey, you know, come on in, you know. Like, there's always that reproach, like, oh, this homeless guy coming in, he's probably been doing this 100 times.
Yep.
We didn't think about that. We saw a person. So he came in, we were eating a meal, and he started sharing things about the Lord with us. You know what I'm saying? He started encouraging us. And so that was really cool. But that's the kind of stuff that was happening. That's why we started going down there.
The ball was moving, yeah.
And that's why we started going down. Denny's was, like, right off the campus down there, because it's Florida Gators down there. It's like, I think Kimmer's 15th Street, or it was somewhere right on the corner.
It's
so
right on the, it's there's right just on the corner of activity. University.
It's just activity like crazy, man. It's a panacea of activity, man. It's a sea of people. So you see all kinds of things. Here, Christians over here, this over here, that over here. You know what I'm saying? Everything you
imagine
can
imagine State Street that you could drive down.
Yeah, okay. That's what it was like. So just a culmination, diversity of people.
So let's bring it to the head here.
All right.
The night in question.
The night in question, we had went down, and as Danny said, there was a particular person that worked there that we had been meeting with, that he was a homosexual, you know. But he had really taken kind of he was open to us.
He was given ear.
He was
always questions. You know,
he was always asking us questions.
Honest. And
yeah, yeah. So we kind of had this dialogue with him, and so we would go down there. We just felt like, hey, let's go. You know, let's go talk to this guy, and you know, let's or whatever. We were just open, whatever, Lord. We remember you when you're Lord, whatever you want to do, make a path, do it. Bring somebody. Bring, you know, and you know, I just want to serve you. You know, that whole we had that zeal, and So we'd get our Bibles down there, you know, and it wasn't trying to wear it on our sleeve type thing. It was just, we didn't, you know, we were into that. And so it was natural, you know, there was no pretense or show. We just had our Bibles out, man. And no matter who we talked to or where we talked, it was, you know, it was, anyway, on this particular night, and Danny can expound, then I'll share my perspective, and then he can,
yeah. Well, maybe Danny should start, because when he read me the notebook...
Can Danny read the notebook? Why don't he just read
it? Yeah, why don't you read the notebook and then we'll just go from there. Now, Danny, when did you write this?
This was within, like, a day or two after...
The event.
And I only wrote till we left Perkins.
Okay.
I didn't finish...
Danny's.
Finished
the whole... Can I, for the record...
Danny, sorry, for the record, yeah, sorry, if you want to say anything for the record.
For the record, I just wanted to point out that I had no idea up until... What was it?
Tuesday, when we had dinner.
Tuesday, this has been, I don't know, over 10 years. I had no idea that Danny had this... As many times as I've seen him, I had no idea that he had a written record of that, of some events that had transpired. So that was really a blessing.
Was funny that he had brought it up, because I had wrote this down, and I kind of put it to the side, and then it was this last winter.
Yeah.
I was, you know, digging around and stuff, and I pulled this notebook out and I started reading it, and I was
Last winter?
Yeah.
Because last winter was when you wrote the letter to me in February.
Yeah.
Which I did receive, because last February I was still still backsledding.
Uh-huh. Just popped
and the Lord really moved to me in March. And then by July I was at the Future Congress conference. And since then, just this whole fire of the Lord moving back and calling me back to Him.
All of us.
I think that this is all, like, you know, He found that notebook last winter. You wrote that intense letter back, which we're going to read to the record on a different night. But yeah, this move of God, even now, in the past year, is almost like He's going...
Yeah, He's blowing the wind, yeah.
Okay, so, Danny, why don't you go ahead and read from the book?
All right. In this book, I am making record of a testimony of something that happened to one of my friends and myself. The Lord surely shows His glory. I have loved the Lord my whole life, but I had still had that little doubt in my mind. I never picked up a Bible and read it for myself and truly understand what I was reading. It is truly the most perfect thing in the world. Well, Dave and I were very new in the Lord. We were like babies always falling and getting back up. We were just baptized in the name of Jesus a week before this happened. If we had not been baptized, who knows what this creature could have done to us. I give thanks to the Lord for that day. We had decided to go to Denny's, a local hangout in Gainesville, Florida. We go there every night and have coffee. Well, this night was different than other nights. In fact, different than any night I have ever had. I had a bad feeling before I even went in the restaurant. It was like God was already warning me that was going to happen. Well, we went up to the counter where they prepare the food and sat down, like one of those.
Yeah, bar stools.
Yeah.
Yep.
I noticed a black man about 19 or 20 working behind the counter. He kept looking at us. I thought nothing of it. The next time I saw him, he was sitting four stools down from us. Everyone looked at him strange. I looked down again and looked toward him again, and he was staring me in the eyes. He nodded at me, and I did the same back. He came over and sat down next to me, looked into my eyes, and said, "You're ready." I said, "Ready for what?" He didn't answer me. I just thought he's crazy. He looked around the packed room and said, "They're all fooled." And he started talking about God to me. It's as if he read my mind, and he mocked me, and I didn't even know it, because many men die of the lack of knowledge. And that's
a scripture that he quoted to us.
Yeah. And I think it's Hosea, "My people perish for a lack of
knowledge." Yeah, he quoted that to us.
He quoted it.
Yeah, I remember you.
That's why he has that written down.
Okay, so let's keep going from right there.
I would like to. I'm just so touched right now, because that is like the most. I'll let it speak for itself.
Well, you're excited to hear Danny speak those words, you know.
It was just, yeah, I had no idea that he had that, and that just brings back. See, I remember talking to Danny about that too, and he had actually seen him before I did.
Okay.
I had seen him when he had actually come around.
He sat next to
him. So I thought he came from outside, but Danny told me later on that he had seen him behind.
The counter. What was he wearing behind the counter?
I can remember exact clothes, but go ahead.
It was just weird because, you know, he was behind the counter and then he's sitting at the counter. I was like...
He was wearing a pair of feet. I'll never forget. I can tell you exactly what he was wearing. He looked like a homeless guy because he had... he was wearing Fila shoes. He had Fila shoes on, and he had two pairs of shorts on. You could see the other pair of shorts protruding from the other ones. And... I can't exactly remember what his top was. But anyway, as Danny said, Danny told you what his dialogue was with him. And I guess I can come in now. How I remember it. When I first spotted him, he was over by the window. And he was looking at people coming in through the door of Danny's.
Yeah.
And he was walking back and forth. He was looking like this. And he just had this look of like... Like Dan says, kind of a mocking, kind of a laughing look. And it's almost like we were the only ones that could see this guy. That's how it seemed. It seemed like nobody else was paying attention to him, nothing. Like, it was just like, here's this guy in rags, and he's walking back. You know, most people you'd think, but it was late at night and everything like that. Anyway, so eventually he was sitting on the stool, and then I saw him. He was talking to you first, I think, right? Mm-hmm. He offered, I'll never forget it. You had quit smoking. I don't know if you remember this. Mm-hmm. What did he offer you?
A Newport.
Nice. His brand of cigarette. It was just strange. Like, I'm not saying that, but it was...
Did he offer you a cigarette?
No.
And why? Well, were you a smoker?
No.
So he might have...
He was just making fun of, I think that he was just making fun of all the little, just all the little things that how he gets Christians beat up. And I don't know, it was just strange that he offered him. I couldn't believe it. Like, Danny was really trying to break away from cigarettes, and he did, but... And that was his brand of cigarette, and he offered him, and Danny goes, what kind is it? He said, it's a Newport. Like, he knew, but that ain't even nothing. It gets intense.
Okay.
So, as Danny said, so, yeah, when he started talking, now, just to lay a little bit of foundation, we were just babes in the Lord, so we still hadn't been exposed to a lot of Scripture.
Yeah.
And now, hearing what he said, it had only been a week since we had been baptized. Mm-hmm. But, so we really didn't have any way of testing the spirits or anything like that. I don't want to get too heavy. I want to keep it pure of how it was that night.
Mm-hmm.
So I started talking to him, and he started talking to me, and, like, I was like, wow, you know, because he just, like, he seemed like he knew God, like,
philosophical,
and, like, and all this stuff. And so I remember, I started asking him detailed questions right after he offered. I said, first thing I asked him is, how old are you? And he said, he looked at me, and he said, I have no age. And I thought at that particular time that, oh, this guy's crazy. You know, okay, well, maybe he's just some street guy. He's kind of out there, you know. So I'm thinking, we're going to take this guy home. We're going to feed him. You know, that's my mindset. We're going to minister this guy. And he said he had no age. And then I looked at him. I said, well, what's your name or whatever, you know. And he said my name is Jeremiah. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. And I'm like, okay. And this is the first time that I realized, I didn't even realize it then, but looking back, I started telling him about Jesus. And the second that I brought up the name of Jesus and started sharing my testimony mm-hmm. about what we were doing down there, he got up and walked away. Hmm. He would walk away. And, yeah, I'm going to get you to go right to Ephesians. Yeah, you remember that. But anyway,
you shared me, actually, in my testimony.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
He remembers, isn't that something? I mean, Danny remembers that. Wow, I wish they could see. Okay, so, I thought, okay, this guy's a little, but I'm like, he can't be nuts because he's talking about the Lord. Like, he really knew, like, and then he's quoting scriptures to Daniel. He quoted that scripture to me in the car, and then he laughed about it, but I'll get to that.
About perishing with a laugh.
Yeah, my people perish and are destroyed. Well, obviously, the devil mocks and laughs at mankind
for their
spiritual blindness about the knowledge of God. He thinks yeah. that it's just, he's very crude.
He revels in it.
He revels in it. It's if you really could see, we'll get to that. So, okay. So my perspective at this point is, this is a homeless guy who seems a little bit out there, but in the same sense, he was completely pulling me in because he really seemed to know the deep things about God, mm-hmm. and he seemed to know us, which was really, like, when I'll get to that in a minute, like, he really just was already, it seemed like he was one step ahead of us mm-hmm. on everything.
Yeah.
So, and he just had this, and I remember when I was looking at his, in his eyes, they were dark, dark, almost black. And when I was looking into his eyes, it just seemed like they were so empty and dead. They just dead. That's all I can say. Death. It was death.
They looked pretty dead.
It was death. And I'm thinking, this guy has no shit. You know, when someone's spirit filled, there's this twinkle. There's that aura, that countenance, that joy. There's that dew, heaven's dew on him. And he didn't. This dude, but yet he was speaking the scriptures. Mm. And I think that's important.
And that drew you in.
And that drew us in. And we had no way to counteract or test the spirits or do anything because we were still just babes.
You weren't even equipped in the
other. But we had all this zeal and we had felt the Holy Spirit and we were touched and all those different things. So, anyway, right away, Danny and I, back to what we were doing. Hey, I started talking to him like, hey, man, let's invite him back to the apartment. We'll take mm-hmm. him to church tomorrow. You know, let's get him some clothes.
So this was a Saturday night then.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Yeah,
I think it was Saturday.
It was a Saturday.
We're gonna try and help him out, you know.
Yeah.
Take him back. You need a place to stay, whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We were like, hey, mi casa, su casa.
So he accepted your offer.
Yep. Well, I'm gonna get to that. Yeah. But he was in unsure. It's like he was feeling us out too. It was strange. Like he was kind of. And I look back on it now. He was just really trying to feel where we were at. The devil doesn't really know. He can't predict the Holy Spirit. He's not omniscient. So, but he was. Try, you know, he, anyway, I'll get to that. You know, and I'm thinking part of me's creeped out by this guy. Part of me's intrigued. Part of me wants to help this guy. So it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to ride with this and keep going, you know. So we make him this offer. Hey, you want to come back? We'll feed you. And he was kind of reluctant. And like I said before, every time I started talking about Jesus or telling my testimony or praising God, he'd walk away. And I remember thinking in my mind at the time, what is wrong with this guy? He's rude. I remember thinking, I'm talking to this guy, he's rude. But now I look back on it, it overcame by the word of their testimony, by the bloodline. One thing, I just want to put this out there. Your testimony about your conversion and about what Christ has done in your life is absolutely important.
Amen.
And it will make darkness flee.
Amen.
The devil hates your testimony.
Amen.
Don't ever, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Don't ever let the devil shut your mouth about your testimony, because he will do everything in the world. I'm in the spirit right now. He will do everything in the world, everything he can do, to get you to shut your mouth. Don't shut your mouth about what God has done in your life. Tell the good works and tell the goodness of God as much as you can, wherever you can. Don't ever allow the devil to shame you into silence. Man, that's right from the Lord. I want people to know that is something that is so powerful. If you ever feel bound, or you ever feel in darkness, or you ever feel defeated, start praising God. Start thanking God for your testimony, and darkness will flee, I promise you.
Amen.
The devil cannot be around that. He cannot be around the name of Jesus. He cannot be around the testimony. He cannot be around any of it. He doesn't want to be around it. That's something. So as believers, you have a testimony.
That's a good
word. I don't care what it is.
That's a good word.
No, so okay, yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I just felt the boldness.
Glory to God.
Yeah, glory to God. I just really looking back on that, right? You remember when he would, and I thought, like I said, at the time being...
He'd go to the bathroom.
Go to the, yeah, their house, when we got back. So
then we can move to the house. If they
okay, go. So we get him, and we get him in the car. It was your car, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? Was it the Cougar?
It was my car, yeah.
So we got him back, and he, Danny was driving. I'm in the back seat, and I started asking him, for whatever reason, it's funny how it says the devil can masquerade. Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. He can seem, come, and appear, and even his ministers can appear as God's servants. And this is just how it seemed to me. Like, but there was something. And I remember in the car in particular, when we were going back to our apartment, because he took our offer, and I remember him telling me that God, and this is a trick of the devil, I look back on it now, but I remember him telling me, he sowed a really wicked seed in me, that he started telling me that if God's all-powerful, and that all this is his fault, basically, is the way he said it. God could stop all this. You know, he was maligning God's character and basically putting this subtle seed into me that if God really loved people, none of this would be happening. This pain and suffering, he is the source. He's the creator. He made it all. You know what I'm saying? It started somewhere. It's not my fault. You know, basically, I look back on it now, but it was so, I didn't realize what he was even doing, but he was polluting me. It was a seed being planted, because I struggled with that for years later. I would battle against that, you know, about questioning God.
Where are you, God?
Yeah, where are you? You know, and I know a lot of people struggle with that, but there was this thing, like, because when you get in the deep things of God, like, well, where did sin, you know, and we all go through those.
Yes.
We're limited, you know what I'm saying? But
We
see through a glass darkly, and we can't possibly know the fullness, but the devil can trick us into getting us to basic...
But man wouldn't be perfect unless he had free will.
Right. I mean, free will. Yeah, right. The devil is basically saying we didn't have a free will.
Yeah, robots.
That we were robots, and God ruled everything, controlled everything.
He's a tyrant.
He's sovereign to the point that mankind, you know, that he's basically the source of evil. That's what the devil's trying to eliminate himself from.
Well, that's the New Age Luciferian doctrine that's coming forth right now, is that Lucifer is the light bearer. He came and rescued Adam and Eve from the evil God, and that's what Luciferians put forth.
Okay, that's about what
That's the seed.
That's the seed. So, and it was very, at the time, I was just more awed because he seemed like this person who knew this deal. Wow.
And you're getting tossed back and forth. What's up with this guy?
Well, I'm just liking this guy at that particular point. I'm thinking, man, he knows his stuff, right? Didn't you? I mean, even for some time. But anyway, we get him back to our apartment. Here's where it really gets heavy. We get him in, and Danny and I just want to love on this guy. He's, you know, we're just like, hey, man, you want to eat? And I remember he wouldn't eat food. Anything that we offered him, he would not eat any food. And I'm thinking, that's pretty odd for what homeless guy or...
Ain't hungry for some food.
Who ain't going to eat, man. I like to eat. And like, you know what I'm saying? It's not... I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to eat. You know what I'm saying? You know, a couple of bachelors...
Well, what, did he drink water or coffee?
No, I'm going to get to... This is... He wouldn't eat anything. And... Danny and I, right back to custom, we're in our Bible sitting at the kitchen table. And him and I are like just reading the Bible and talking about the Lord and kind of talking. This guy offered him stuff, and he's on our couch in the living room, but we could see him. We're in, it was kind of an open kitchen, open living room. Mm-hmm. So we were sitting, and he was on our couch. We said, "Hey, man, you know, have the couch or whatever." And so we're talking back and forth, and I'm offering him. He wouldn't take nothing. And then I realized, you know, I'm thinking to myself, "Ah, he's kind of dirty. You know, maybe better take a shower. I got some clothes." And so, but before that, once again, when I started sharing my testimony to him, because I'm thinking,
go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he started getting up and go to the bathroom. And we're like, how many times man, this guy right? got
you know, gotta what's go he to, got going on? You know, he's in there every
time we started telling about Jesus, he'd go up and go to the bathroom. And Danny and I are getting tripped out. We're like, what the heck?
Is he robbing us? Or
what? We didn't know what. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what Danny was thinking. I didn't know. I was sympathetic. Like, something. Oh, he must have a bladder problem. You don't think Danny's a little more hip than I am at that.
So you were a little more suspicious of him when he was behaving this character.
Well, when he's getting up every other minute and going to the bathroom, you hear the faucet run the whole time he's in there. And, you know, it was just weird.
Yeah. And so, but that's every like, time we started talking, wasn't it?
We didn't have anything for him to steal, but it's just funny, it was a joke, you know.
Yeah, no, you just, odd behavior. Yeah.
Odd behavior, but it was every time that...
The Lord would come up.
That every time I started telling about my testimony, about, geez, you know, this is what he did, we came down here, praise God, you know. And so he'd just get up and go to the bathroom, I'm looking at Danny, like, so when he came out, like, it was maybe the third time or whatever, I said, hey, you want to take a shower? And he's like, he looks at me with this long stare. He's just looking at me with this long stare. And it was like we locked with our eyes. And I'm thinking, okay. And he's like, sure, or yeah, or whatever he said. And so I go run back. I'm like, oh, I'm going to bless this guy. I'm going to get some of my clothes or whatever. You know, I'm going to give him some clothes because I could see like, what he was wearing. I'll never forget it. That's why I remembered in detail.
Those double shorts.
Double shorts and in the field shoes. I'll never forget it. And nothing against Phil.
No, but it's so.
Yes. I mean, I can admit I was always turned off by Phil after this.
Okay.
Anyway, so no, really, it's weird. anyway, so I go, when he decides, and he's taking his merry time, and I went in the back bedroom and I got some clothes and I met him because somehow I just met him. I said, here you go, man. Here's some clothes. And he looks at me and he goes, and I'm like, here, you know, and they're nice. I mean, I gave him the freshest set, you know what I'm saying? It was smooth. And I'm like, here, man, you know, like, here's some. And he looks at me and he goes, I can't wear them. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking to myself in my head, what do you mean you can't wear them? And I'm looking at what he's wearing in this. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Easy the choice. Guy don't want food. The guy don't want, I mean, what's going on? And he said, I can only wear particular colors. I can't wear these colors. And so he was talking about colors. That's what he said to me. I can only wear particular colors.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. So I'm looking at what his colors were, you know, and I'm thinking, and he had particular green, red, or whatever it was, but I don't know how that was relevant, but he said maybe somebody out there could expound on why he would only wear. Anyway, so he goes into the bathroom, and Danny and I are looking at each other like, this guy's off. This guy's a little out there. But then again, we're like, okay.
You just saw past it each time.
Each time. Yeah. Okay. We overlooked it. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's streaky, you know, he's, you know, whatever. We felt, you know, it was so weird to us because we wanted to tell this guy about Jesus, but he's telling us everything. But in the same sense, he's...
I don't want to cut you short, but at what point did he bring... That passage that Danny just opened up to?
I'm going
to
get to that.
Okay.
That's coming up.
Right before.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, so we're sitting at the table... And remember Danny said that he would always turn the water on when he went in there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What he's referring to is when he went into to take our shower, we heard him turn on the pipes, right? Like he turned on, we could hear our shower in the pipes.
Shh.
Yeah. And he kept turning it on and then he would turn it off. Mm-hmm. And we could hear it. I don't think he knew that we could hear it. And we're thinking, I mean, he did this like on and off. And I want to say one thing before all this. When he was sitting on our couch, like when I started telling his testimonies, he run to the bathroom, he couldn't stop itching his legs. He kept itching.
Oh, yeah, he was itching.
Itching, constantly, dude. Constantly itching. Constantly.
I don't know if, you know,
It was to the point where it was like crazy, like, this is way out of... It's not like somebody just has an itch or maybe they got a scratch. Okay. He's just like raking on his legs.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Agitation.
He was just itching like
I could easily imagine I'll say it later. So go ahead.
Yeah, but he's just itching, and I mean, it was like, I mean, it was strange because he just was itching, like. Okay. And I had heard something later on about that, but
we can move. Okay. We can patch that up after.
But that was going on too, and then before all this too, I want to add this in. He would come up to us, like, when we'd be talking, like, to him back and forth, and he would say things that Danny and I used to say.
Yeah, he did.
Well, do you remember any examples?
I always used to tell people when they would give me something, I'd always say, I appreciate that. I'd say that just like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He'd say that to me. When I offered him the food, he'd look at me, and he'd say it in a mocking tone. He goes, I appreciate that. And I remember thinking to myself, like, what? And he said other things, too, that we had things that...
Okay.
It was such an odd coincidence, and I thought maybe it was just coincidence, but he would... It was mocking. He was doing it in a mocking way. Like, he knew us. Like, you know, I mean, that was just like, wow. Because he'd say that and he'd kind of look at me almost with a weird grin. Okay? Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, so he went to air club and we heard the pipes going on and off and all that. And then he comes out and I'm like, well, I'm like, did you take a shower? I had the boldness to ask him that. I didn't want to embarrass him, but... And he just kind of nodded his head. And then after he went, I went in the bathroom, and I could see that he never went in. He never went in the shower or the bath. What he did, because he left a footprint, you know, on the edge of the bath. We had like a porcelain bath. There was a dirty footprint. He stepped on the edge of it. You could see where his footprint was. He never stepped into the water. And you know Brother Kelly Herring?
Yes.
Told me later when he was in the Satanism, they can't, the something with the water, but he could not, he didn't get in the water. He wouldn't take it, which was really strange.
We
actually
joked about that. We're like, you believe that?
Yeah.
Well, after later that night, we just couldn't believe trying to put it all together.
Put it all together, you know, because we were like, he wouldn't eat food, he wouldn't wear certain clothes, and he wouldn't take a shower. What homeless guy isn't going to take a hot shower,
get some food, and get some rags on?
Who cares
what the colors are?
Yeah, who cares? I mean, really. Okay. So we're still not getting it, though. We're looking past everything. Like, oh, maybe he just didn't, you know, maybe we're being too, but, you know, we're just too ignorant of what was really going on, what was in our midst.
Well, yeah, you were babes.
We're just babes, man. And he was taking advantage of it. But anyway, so when all this is said and done, he gets on our couch, okay? And things stepped up a notch. Yeah, you can get that. He was on our couch, and so we had our Bibles out, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm just gonna, cause he was still, you know, talking things, and I said, hey, I looked at him and I said, hey, you want to have a Bible study? Just like that. And he never give us a yes or no answer. It was always a nod or a, you know, like, and I basically make the move.
Yeah.
So Danny's staying at the table. He's just sitting at the table. You were on the backside towards the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get down, and he's laying on our couch, his head at the pillow side, his feet at the other end of the couch. He's just, I'll get to that. He's just leaned out. And I got on my knees, and I'm kind of looking up at him. I'm maybe 2 feet. I'm on the carpet, and he's up on the couch. I'm looking up at him. I got my Bible. He doesn't have a Bible. And yep. I said, because at this particular time, I'm thinking he wants it, because I knew he had talked all this stuff about the Bible.
You felt he knew the scripture.
Yeah.
He was sharing.
Yeah. I'm going to get to that. I got this. Yeah, it's...
You shared this with me in my bedroom after Perkins.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
So I looked at him and said, because I didn't know where to start. I'm like, okay, you know, let's have a Bible study. Let's go through the Bible, you know. And I looked at him and I said, hey, where should we start? Where do you want to go? And he looked at me and he said, let the Spirit of God lead you. That's what he said to me. When I'm like, okay. And you got to remember, I'm a babe in the Lord. And I'm kind of like, okay, that's like heavy. That's like heavy. You know what I mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, like, okay. And then he looked at me and he said, well, before he did that, before he gave me a scripture, he looked at me. And this put almost fear in me. He looked at me and he looked me right in the eyes and he goes, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. That's what he said to me. And I was like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was heavy. And then when he did that, right after he did it, he went, woo, like this. He just went like this, woo, with his arms. Like he, like kind of a, I don't know how you'd explain. Like a
describing it for the listeners, he kind of just waved his arms.
He waved his arms and
like came. Like he's kind of boogie-woogie.
Boogie-woogie at me. He's like, after he said that, though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you fear no evil. And then he went, woo, like that to like, you know. And I'm like, whoa. And I didn't even know. I'm like, and I'm still not getting it. You know what I'm saying? I'm still like, I'm just excusing everything. It's just like, hello, you know, here's your sign. I mean, it was just like, wow. Anyway, then he looks at me in a real stern look and he says, go to Ephesians 2. And here it is. And Danny, you heard him saying that? Is that how you remembered it?
I've remembered that ever since he said it.
Okay.
For the listeners, the reason we're saying this is because while Dave's been talking, Danny grabbed my Bible off the counter and turned right to Ephesians 2 and handed it to Dave. That was earlier when Dave said, oh, there it is.
And ever since that, this has been one of my favorite scriptures because it reminds me of it. And it pretty much puts it all in one spot.
Yeah. The whole gospel.
You should read it because
the whole gospel
is in Ephesians.
Just everything and it's got the adversary and what his work is. And
can I pause you for a second here?
Yeah.
When you read the scripture, I want you to differentiate, because I remember you telling me this. I want you to differentiate between what he read to you.
Oh yeah.
And the totality of that section of scripture.
Well, okay, so I was going to read it, but I don't know what. Why?
Can we take a pee break?
Yeah, take a pee break.
Awesome.
Where we were, you were on the couch, or he was on the couch, and he told you to. You just said he told you to go to Ephesians.
Right. And I was just going to get to the point where I was like, I don't know what compelled me to do it, but I'm like, here, you read it. And so I turned my scripture and gave it to him. And he started looking at it. And I said, read it. You know, I'm like, read it. And he started reading it in the scripture. And this is how he read it. I'll never forget it. And I'm thinking, man, he started reading it. And what he did is he said, he were trespasses wherein to the course. He was skipping over words. Like, he couldn't read it verbatim, like, word for word. And I remember, and I'm like, You know, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe he just can't read that good.
Dyslexic.
He's or whatever. I didn't even think that. I just thought he just was illiterate. I'm thinking, oh, I felt bad. Oh, man, I didn't mean to put him on the spot. Once again, you know.
No, you're self-condemning. Messed up.
I didn't probably take it too deep. It was just like, okay, he just doesn't. And so I grabbed it back, probably to try to rescue the situation from it being awkward. And the scripture, and this is the scripture, Dan says this is like the nutshell, and it's...
That's what I think.
Give us the address again. Where are we?
We're in Ephesians 2. And it says, and you has he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the devil. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, this is great, his treasure chest, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were in sins, dead in sins, has quickened us or made us alive together with Jesus Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should brag. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Okay, so that's the scripture.
Okay.
But it was basically the main part of it was 1-9 of Ephesians 2. But as I said, as he tried, he couldn't read it. He skipped over it, and it was intentional. And after he gave me back the Bible, this is. And, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. This is where it gets, this is where everything changes. Dan was up sitting at the table.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. I'm sitting, you know, down. I'm still on my knees. And there was this awkward silence that came over us after this happened. It must have been me, I don't know how long, how many seconds, or, but I was looking at him, like I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
But I locked in with him right in his eyes, and I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at him. And all of a sudden, and I want to, can I quote a scripture here real quick?
Yeah, do you need the scripture?
Christ, Jesus said, and I believe all this happened to us as a confirmation of Christ's word. Jesus said in the last days, false Christs, false prophets shall rise and shall show miracles, signs, and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect of God. And so I've heard that scripture quoted by many preachers out there, and I believe a lot of times, and I'm not faulting anybody, but it's out of context, or it's applied to something that's not relevant to what Jesus is talking about. It's a very literal scripture, and it has to do with the fact that there will be signs and wonders that are supernatural. We're not talking about just these charlatan preachers that are putting hands on people.
Health and wealth.
We're talking about a different type of creature. We're talking about demons.
Things that you can see and, you know, feel.
Right. Anyway, I'm looking at him, and all of a sudden,
Did he say anything to you?
No, I was looking at him, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at, we really locked. It was like a lock-in, you know what I'm saying? And because there was this awkward silence after, like, what do you do next? Well, all I can say is my whole life, I want to say one more thing, just to lay the foundation. I feel it's important I share this. My whole life, you know, I watch movies and I watch stuff in Hollywood, you know what I'm saying? And I've seen stuff, and it's funny how I believe that the adversary is behind a lot of those things to make things, as you always hear the old adage about C.S. Lewis, that the greatest deception the devil ever did is to make himself not real. But in essence, there's a lot of truth to that, because he also wants to make things seem fantasy or not real, okay? To kind of make the spiritual realm seem not real, to make people ashamed or think that you're crazy. He wants to do anything he can to discourage people from understanding that there is a lot more than what the eye sees.
Amen.
So he uses counterfeit things and the things in Hollywood to tell us that we view and perceive things as fiction. And so you'll see like these things transfigure, and you see all stuff in the movies, right? As nonfiction.
As fiction.
So anyway, this is what happened. Here it is, cut and dry. As I'm staring at him right at the tip of his nose, his flesh, his human flesh, began to, it started like a pinpoint on his nose. His flesh started to transfigure right in front of me. And initially when it happened, they say you've seen a ghost, or I'm looking.
Yeah.
I was sitting at the table reading, and all of a sudden Dave starts crying.
Well, I'm going to get to that point. That comes after.
Okay. So before what's happening
with Danny doesn't even see what's going on yet. He's facing the other way.
Dave looked at me. He's like, dude.
Hang on. So
praise God, man. This needs to come out.
Yeah. So his flesh started transfiguring. I'm 2 feet from this guy, and his flesh starts transfiguring at his nose. This is in, this would have been in October of 1997. Mm-hmm. Gainesville, Florida.
Because it was 1 year later.
Gainesville, Florida. Hello, Gainesville. You know what I'm saying?
There's listeners in Gainesville.
You'd be surprised what's walking around in your city, but anyway, or was. This just flashed into me. This just quickened to me, too. When I had asked him where he was from, this is earlier on, he said Florida. And I believe now, looking back on it, it was a principality. There's principalities of territorial. He wouldn't say what city. I kept asking him or where. He wouldn't say it. He just said Florida. So, all of a sudden, when that happened, about his whole nose, if you can imagine the member of your nose, and it's spreading. It started spreading, and it started at the tip of his nose, his whole nose, and it started to light up like light, just like in his flesh just transfigured. Just like, I can imagine what Jesus did on the mount, but not that kind of glory. This was less than that, but it was the same thing. He was transfiguring. And as soon as that, it was within seconds of that, in my belly, in my stomach, right away, I called on Jesus. First thing I did is I called on Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I cried. I started crying. I said, Jesus, you know, because I'd never seen nothing. I didn't even know what to do. And in my gut, right after I called on Jesus, in my stomach, it was like, the only thing, it was like a geyser. If you could picture like a natural spring geyser,
yes.
That's what I felt inside my stomach come right up through me. It was a supernatural power. I mean, like, I've heard people felt the Holy Spirit, and I felt it, and this was like the Lord rised up, the Holy Ghost rised up. I felt it. I mean, it was, when they say like the wind came in on Pentecost,
yes,
this came up through my gut. It just all I can picture is like a seed cracked open in my gut, and the guts came out, and the water came right up through me, and I felt like I could float. That's what it felt like. I felt like I could float.
And you're crying and you're crying out to Jesus.
And when I cried out to Jesus, I heard him. And I don't know how he could talk by this time I'm just like, and he said, don't say that. That's what he said to me. Don't say that. That's what he said to me. And he said to me, I'm the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's what he said to me. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're crying out.
So anyway, I'm looking at him. By that time, his whole body, he had transfigured, even his clothes, everything. He looked like, the only thing I can describe it as, you could see his form. It was like light. It was like lava. If you could picture like lava, like a head and a body.
It looked like lava.
It looked like lava. There, and you could just barely see like a form. And it was light. And then all of a sudden he'd come back in, and it'd be his shirt and his flesh and his body and everything. And he'd be solid again.
Like an outline.
Yeah, so hang on. So I get up, right? I get up. After I see this, and he comes back in the flesh, and I'm thinking in my mind at this time, even though he said that stuff, I never seen nothing like this in my whole life. I thought he was an angel, you know, from the Lord. I knew he wasn't Jesus. I knew that wasn't Christ. The Holy Spirit in me, or what? I knew, and when I called on Jesus, that I felt that geyser in me explode. I got up after he came back into like the flesh in his clothes, after he transfigured and came back in, and I walked back towards Danny, and I couldn't even talk. You know how they say in the old saying, you look like you've seen a ghost, you couldn't talk? I never experienced anything like that. That's what I was saying about Hollywood and all that. All of a sudden, things that I thought, I believed in the Lord at the time and everything, and about spirits and all that, but all of a sudden I seen something I had never seen in my life, ever. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It was like, I didn't even know what to do. And I started walking over towards Dan, and I turned towards him, and I'm crying, and I'm just weeping, and
Let's go to Danny here.
Well, hang on. I gotta tell you, this is part of it. All of a sudden, I'm looking at Danny in his eyes, and I'm like, Danny. I couldn't even talk. I'm like, Danny, angel. I'm like, there's an angel. And all of a sudden, his eyes, if I'm looking at you, his eyes, like when someone opens their eyes really wide, like all of a sudden, I saw his eyes open up really wide like this. Like they just opened up really wide. And he's like, and I could see like this almost like amazement. And all of a sudden, all around Danny, and all the way up to the ceiling is this white, bright Shekinah aura light. Mm-hmm. Okay?
I saw the same thing.
And then I asked him later on, I said, Danny, you know, I saw he goes, that's why my eyes were so big, because he said, that's what was around you. And it went all the way. It was the glory of God.
He protected us. He did.
And I saw this around, I got goosebumps, dude. I saw this around him, and he saw it around me, too. I didn't realize it was around me, but that's why his eyeballs got big. Then he walked over. But anyway, he walked over, and I said, go over there, look at him. You can tell him what you saw after
that. I looked at his face, and all of a sudden, it was like he was lava. I swear to God, this is what I saw. And I shouldn't swear to God like that, but you know what I'm saying? That is what I saw. And at this point in time, you don't know if, you don't know if it's of God or not.
Not of God.
Yeah.
We didn't know because it was supernatural.
It was just supernatural.
It was supernatural. Like nothing. I mean, man, I've never seen nothing like it. Okay, so him and I, and he did it a couple more times after that. Like I watched him go back. He'd go back in to he'd light up and then come back in. And first thing I had to do, I all of a sudden felt led to go get my cousin. And now they were a lot more seasoned than the Lord.
What time was this?
This was at like, 1 o'clock at night?
Yeah, probably 1 in the morning.
Yeah, they were sleeping. You know, they have no idea. You know, they had kind of warned us not to be going downtown.
Dude, we gotta wake up.
Yeah, so I run over there. I said, Danny, wait, I leave Danny. Were you with me?
No, I went out there with you.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah.
I got this actually. Angel told me this at Audra's wedding. She told me her side of the testimony.
Oh, you did hear it. Okay, so.
At Audra's wedding, I asked
it was her. It was my cousin Angel and Raphael and Audra and their dog Happy. Okay, and this is a funny story about why his name is Happy.
The dog is going off.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to that. Dude, I come and Danny and I are knocking on this door, like, erratically. Because we just, you know what I mean? And finally, it took about 5 minutes, and they wake up, and they're, like, in their, like, garb. Pajamas. Yeah, their pajamas, and they're, like, yawning. And they open up the door, and I'm like, the first thing I said was I had my hands out. And they said to us later on that we were as pale as a ghost. Yeah. They said we couldn't even talk, which I could not talk. I literally, it was like, you remember, what priest that he could not, his tongue was tied. Mine was about tied almost.
But wasn't that the father of John the Baptist?
Yes. But it was like, if I could imagine, but not quite as intense, but I could still talk, but I could not.
You're tied.
The amazement of what I experienced was just.
It was like nothing you'd ever experienced.
And all I could say was, because I had felt that from when that, like the guys, when the Holy Spirit had filled me, I kept going to them. Receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. That's all I could say to him. Receive the Spirit. You know, that's all I could say to him.
Oh, within 5 minutes, you're seeing auras and transfigurated. I mean, it's, you know, it's like.
So anyway, they're like, what's going on, you guys? They didn't even know. They're like, I'm like, and then finally I kept saying to him, Angel. Angel. And she's like, what? What? Because my cousin's name was Angel. And she's like, I'm like, no, Angel. Angel. And they're like, what? So they finally get dressed, and I'm like, come over, Angel, you know, because I could not get it out. I didn't even know, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just in amazement, like, come see this angel. And so they get all their stuff out, and they've been in the Lord quite a long time, and they knew how to test, and she was into all kinds of, like, spiritual warfare books and all that. I remember her telling me about it, but I wasn't even on that level yet, you know what I'm saying? I was just a babe, and it was all too heavy. And anyway, she comes over, and they had a little dog. It was a wiener dog, and his name was Happy. And the reason, and his name is so funny. I think they actually adopted it and they named it Happy. And one of the reasons they named it Happy is because this dog loved everybody it ever met. This dog licked people. I mean, this is one of those dogs like you'd be sitting there, oh man, what's this thing gonna stop licking me?
Okay.
You know what
you
I mean?
You lay on the floor.
You lay on the floor, and it's on your leg, and it's doing all kinds of things, you know. But the thing is just a love dog. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, really, it did do that to you. Yeah, you get okay. I don't mean to be rated X here, but this dog was happy. Okay. That dog, when it came into the apartment, that dog, and that's what made Angel all of a sudden
trigger.
Mm-hmm. She knew something. That dog was doing circles, growling, and just barking like crazy. Just going crazy on this. And she's like, she never seen him act that way ever in all the times. Never. She's like, what the heck?
Again, not trying to be a racist, you know, but everybody that lived around us was. You know,
oh, everyone that lived around us was African American. Yeah, so everybody. This dog, it wasn't
used to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't anything to do with that. Because if anybody would try to say, oh, no, this dog, the hair on his back was standing up the second, and this dog was just going ballistic. I mean, not just growling like a dog. We're talking, this dog was literally chasing
out of
his
its
tip,
form.
Out of its mind.
Yeah.
The whole time. It would. She couldn't even get him to be quiet.
So what happened?
So then we're like, that's an, and I'm telling her in her ear, that's an angel. That's, and she's not, all she's seeing is this flesh. So she starts asking what his name is, right? All of a sudden he says a different name than he told me. She asks how old he is. He's like 21. He starts telling her he's totally acting different than what he was to us. And we're like, what the heck?
What's going on?
So then she started testing the spirit. She goes, I'm going to test your spirit right now. That's what she says to him. Because she's on this, because after her dog, and then she's kind of getting what's going on. And she could tell we were in another, like, she couldn't even get connected with us. So she says, she goes to, first question she asks, I remember him too. She says,
that wasn't the first one.
She says, what religion are you? That's the first thing she asked him. And he said, I'm all of them because they're one. That's what he said. And right away, you could tell she was taken back by that. I'm still thinking, oh, okay, yeah. You know, I didn't even know how to, like I said, I was only a week or two, whatever, in the Lord. And she's like, and she went, okay. And then she said, and then she's like, well, let's go to John,
1 John
4:1. And she's quoting scripture to him, right? And she was going to start reading it, and he cut her off and tried to say the scripture, but he was doing what he did with me in Ephesians, and he was skipping over it. And she knew, she told me this later, she knew what he was doing, that he was trying to thwart her from, and the scripture is, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's God coming in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Every spirit that denies it, I don't care. There's denominations, there's things out there that deny the deity, that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that is God. Not... As God,
he was a prophet.
Yeah, he was a prophet. Yeah. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. That any I don't care what sect you are, what branch you are, any sect of Christianity that denies the deity of Jesus Christ, his lordship, that he is God in the flesh, I don't care how they want to get around it. They want to just call him the Son of God and that's it, or the Son of Man. You know, if anything that focuses and doesn't believe Jesus to be divine and fully God is not of the truth.
Okay.
I don't care what they are, who they are, what they say. Okay, because that's exactly when it says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. When you look at Jesus Christ, that's the Messiah. That's the promised Messiah. That's Yahshua. That's God Almighty, Yahweh, in the body.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, you're deceived. Plain and simple. You don't. I'm not trying to say that to be arrogant. If you don't have that revelation, that is a very important revelation, because that's the gospel. That's the gospel.
The propitiation wouldn't be qualified. Absolutely. If it wasn't God.
It's the Father in flesh, the deity in dust, the Creator came in clay. There ain't no ifs, and that's what that's really saying there.
Okay, so Angel, she gets to this scripture,
and he cuts her off. He won't even let her finish it. And then her third test was, she says, this is the clincher.
Oh, she didn't get to give him the full testament.
No, he won't let her. So then she says, and Danny just quoted it before.
Who do you serve?
Who do you serve? And this is what he said.
Myself.
That's what he said. And she
said myself.
Myself.
And I was like, all right, get out.
He ran, dude. Boom. He went flying out our door.
Get out!
I couldn't wait to get out.
Yep. She's like, woo. She's like, and then like I got goosebumps. Right? I mean, I'm just like, woo. Like,
get out.
I'm like. And he went, he took off, he was gone. And she's like, what happened? That's when she started talking to us, and we started telling her. And at this time, Dan and I are both still uncertain. Yeah. We're like, man, why'd you do that? We liked him. We didn't know. She's like, no, that he was not of God. Whatever he did, she knew. And then we started telling her, she's like, that is amazing. You saw what? They had a hard time receiving it.
Yeah, they did.
But they knew it by the dog. Yeah, first, like.
The dog, your faces.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And then when she tested the spirit and how he responded.
You could have took us in two different rooms and we would have told the same story.
Same testimony.
Same thing.
Well, let's put this out here now. Since this
okay, that's what broadcast. Happened. So this after was, that, can I say one quick thing? After that, I could not look at people in the eyes for weeks and weeks. I went to Bible studies. I had a lot of fear after that. But it also. I know Danny too. We didn't even know how to talk about it. Like I felt like kind of almost.
Yeah, because
other Christians.
We're going to a church where probably a lot of them hadn't seen this before, and
yeah, they kind of blew it off.
Yeah,
and we're like, dude, you got it. You know, we're trying.
So hold on, let me ask a question here. So you're sharing this? You tried to share it with the church you were going
to.
They won't receive it.
They won't hear us.
We were new in Christ, and they're like, they're putting on a show.
Yeah, did you rebuke them? Yeah. Or did you rebuke whatever. It? Or you know, they weren't getting. They didn't get. It was like talking to mannequins, dude.
They didn't get what happened.
They couldn't grasp like what was going down.
But you can see now, as I've shared with you both,
mm-hmm.
what this meant. For when you first shared the gospel with me, because you brought the gospel and I was resisting it.
Yeah.
I had a memory of how the Holy Spirit had already been working in my life
mm-hmm.
because he used the foundation. Like I shared in my testimony, God used your foundation of a silent witness, which to me meant something did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the kind of guy who was curious. I mean, I knew you guys for a while. I wanted to know what.
Right.
Especially when he had said that you were in the Bible now and you were a Bible thumper because... You know, in my circle, that was whatever. That you know, someone was all caught up in stupidness.
But you know what I've get? You know, when I'm just talking to normal, everyday people, and I kind of tell them that I had something like that happened. It's weird. They get interested in it. Oh, I believe in ghost stories. It's like...
Yeah, or what kind of drugs were you guys on? I've gotten that question when I've tried
But I mean, like, you know, oh... they don't have anything to do with Jesus, but they believe in that crap on Discovery Channel. You know what I'm saying?
Ghost hunters.
Yeah. It's like, no, this is way beyond.
This is on a whole different level. This is only through the Holy Script. Like, this is for real. And one thing, Danny quoted that, and he had quoted, I can't remember exactly, I think he quoted it to me in the car, but he said again, he looked at me and said, my people perish and are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then he laughed. He
went, yeah, yep, yep.
He laughed. Yep. And maybe that's what Danny was referring to, but he laughed. Like,
yeah, that's Hosea.
And he, the devil mocks. Humanity has all this knowledge for all these things, how to go to the moon and how to make your phone and move.
Did we?
You know what I'm saying, though? And this and radio waves and cell phones. We have all this knowledge, but we do not have mankind. The devil mocks the fact that man does not have the knowledge of God.
Yes.
Of salvation, of eternal life, this very wonderful
gift.
You
know, it's pretty sad that mankind doesn't have the knowledge to get along.
Well, that's exactly what, without the knowledge of God, there's no unity. Without Christ, mankind is at war with himself, with one another. And that's what we see. Christ is the answer. He is his kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, love, and joy in the Spirit. God has promised us the Holy Spirit, and
the sad thing is like people will, like with the pyramids and stuff, that's like 6,000 years ago. Oh, it's written, so it must have happened. But then they'll be like the Bible. You know, you get certain people. It's written, but they can't believe that that happened.
Well, that's because the enemy's done a
mighty work to discredit the scriptures. You really think about it. 6,000 years compared to 2,000.
Well, the enemy doesn't want to discredit the pyramids. He wants to discredit the scriptures. So
I know.
He's done a lot. I mean, that's where I was when Dave was sharing the gospel with me in 1998. You know, almost a year, because this happened in October of 97. Dave was sharing with me in August of 98. Okay, and it took Dave months. Like, I shared my testimony. It wasn't until January of 99 that I actually went up to a Bible study, and that was the night I prayed to the Lord and just asked the Lord. I basically, a lot like what Keith Green said, is no compromise. All right, God, I'm inviting you in. Your proof of, I'm inviting you into my life. Whether or not you come in will be the test of who you really are. Something along those lines. You just basically put God to the test. Like
what I'm trying to say is, you'll get somebody in a school that somebody wrote their theory about the dinosaurs, and they believe it because they're led to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can take the Bible and.
What's the most reliable historical text in the history of mankind?
Oh, it's the Bible.
not only that, but to people who aren't believers.
Oh, yeah. I had a teacher at Nina High School, and you know what she told me? She's like, by law, I can't teach you this book, but she said, I am going to use it for the historical context, because it is the most accurate historical context book there is, and nobody argued with her. Because it is, you know.
No,
what I'm
no, it's.
She said, "I am going to refer to this book."
Mm-hmm.
And she's my history.
The really simple solution is, because a lot of people, when I've shared, especially after that first summer, the summer of 1999,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I had that conversion in January, and over that whole summer, because of my skateboarding, I was reaching out to all my friends in the skate park. And the number one thing is, oh, you can't trust the Bible, dude. And then there's the assumption that it's like a game of telephone. The Bible has been translated each upon the copy before. So it's this, like you get a huge people in a circle, and they tell a secret to the left, and by the time it comes back to them, it's a different story. That's what I got from people. But for the listener, you go look it up right now, you'll find out that there is the ancient texts in Greek and Aramaic, and there's a Septuagint, and then there's direct translation. It's a one transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing people say is, there's contradictions in the Bible. You can't trust the Bible, there's contradictions in it. The ones that I have confronted and dealt with are mistranslations, and if anyone had a really solid, you know, contradiction, or even better yet, the Bible's been changed, show me.
Right.
If the Bible had been changed, someone could say, here's a copy that was found in blah, blah, blah. Here's a different copy that was found somewhere else, and they're different. But they can't do that, because there isn't.
Right.
You know, and you have the Gnostic Gospels, which are false Gospels.
Right. Of course, the devil counterfeits. The one thing I want to say to reiterate on that is just what you had said. I remember when you had shared some of the testimony with me, and I listened to it. That's one of the questions you had posed me early on. And I said, listen, if God is almighty, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's all-powerful, could he not easily preserve his word? You know what I'm saying? He has easily preserved the human race. He's easily preserved the seed. He's easily preserved the stars that hang in the sky. He's preserved all these things. Could he not preserve his word in the earth? I mean, it's like, come on, hello. Of course he can. He's sovereign. You know, he's a sovereign God. And that his word endures from generation to generation. I mean, they've tried to put the flame out and put the scriptures out. They've tried to put the scriptures out in how many times? And I mean, they've tried to burn, and the adversary has bound up the scriptures into religious fascism and everything else, and it just is not. It they cannot destroy it. I can say on record, you will never be able to destroy the Word of God. It endureth forever. Try. Mm. It will never happen. It can't. Mm. You can destroy everything else, but you cannot destroy God's Word. Why? Mm. Because it's sanctified and supernaturally preserved. That's why Israel. That's why, like, even Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem still there? I mean, dude, you know what I'm saying? Like,
We can wax long on all that.
All that stuff.
We've by a bunch of pagans.
Yeah.
We've gone through the testimony, and I really want to thank you guys for being open and honest and just laying it out there.
I hope it blesses people. I mean, it's the truth before the Lord, and God knows. You know, we gotta give an account one day, you know, to the Lord.
Well, thank you for it. I'm sure this is going to go somewhere, and people are going to be blessed by what you share.
Yeah, amen.
I want to ask you if you want to close this up with a prayer and just pray for the listeners.
Sure. Heavenly Father, Lord, your ways are past finding out, Lord. It's amazing how you work all things to the good, Lord. You know, we've been through a lot of bumpy roads along the way, Lord. We've backslidden. We've just a lot of different things, Lord. And you have been faithful, God, even when we've been faithless, Lord. And you have opened the doors, Lord, for us to share our personal testimonies, Lord, of what occurred and what happened to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would use it to your glory.
Yes, Father.
That it was a confirmation, Lord Jesus, of your word, and also a sign, Lord, of the times. When these things begin to happen, look up, your redemption draweth near. I think people need to take heed, Lord. And give ear to the fact that you allowed it, Lord, for that to manifest and for us to experience that. And as you've worked it out tonight, Lord, and even before the internet, Lord, this happened, where the internet was as strong like it is now, how you have opened up an opportunity, Lord, for this testimony to be spread. Because I believe, God, it happened for a purpose.
Mm.
And I pray, Lord, you'd open up the ears and the hearts, Lord, that men could receive this testimony, Lord. I know that there's the flesh, and I know that it would be tempting for people to doubt. But I pray, Lord, that there's two witnesses. The Bible says, let every word be established in the mouths of two or three witnesses. You have two different men here, Lord, testifying. Hmm. And Jesus, you did all kinds of miracles, Lord, and the apostles, and many things were done in your name, Lord, glorious and even more supernatural. And even more, you raised the dead and all those things. And people still, Lord, rejected you. People still, as Paul said, these things weren't done in a corner, Lord. And so it doesn't surprise me, Lord, that even through this testimony, people still may harden their hearts. But, Lord, we pray that you would use this to your glory and to minister to people that you are real, Lord. That Lord Jesus, you are alive. That you love us, that you are calling all men, Lord, to turn to you and to call upon you and to learn about you and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, to repent, Lord, and to turn to you, Lord, and to receive the free gift that you have given us, Lord, and to grow in your word. And I pray that, Lord, that your arm is not too short, Lord, that it can't save. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord. I pray also, Lord, for anyone, Lord, who may be in bondage, who is listening to this, Lord, who is still, who knows, Lord, that they are caught or maybe trapped in a particular sin, but something has compelled them, Lord, or you have led them to listen to this, or you brought them, or however, maybe somebody has given them this. Lord, I pray for them right now, Lord, yes, that you break every yoke.
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus, all the cords, the chains, Lord, yes, that you would deliver, Jesus, that you would heal, that you would anoint them, Lord, and restore them, revive them, and resurrect them, Jesus, to the fullness, to the abundance of life, that they could feed on the abundance of peace and the still waters, Lord, the heritage, the solidarity in the family of God, the unity, Lord, the love of the brotherhood, all the great blessings, all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. We pray that, Lord, that they would enter in, yes, and that a wide entrance would be ministered onto them, Lord. A broad door, not a skinny door, Lord, not a small door, but a wide door would be ministered onto them, Lord. That they would enter in and press in to the things of your kingdom, to the riches of, from your purse, Lord. To sit at your table and to sup with you, Lord, and to know you, Jesus. To know you, Lord, that you are the living God, that you love us. Lord, I thank you for... Danny and I have not seen each other, Lord, for 2 years. You worked a miracle, Lord, and have delivered me out of the whale's belly, Lord, out of the prison. You out of an amazing... just an amazing testimony, Lord. But I'm so thankful to see my brother again, Lord. I pray for Brother Daniel, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus, that you'd just really bless him. I thank you for his testimony tonight, Lord. Just amazing that you worked this together. Thank you for Dan's diligence, Lord. In his steadfastness, Lord, to get this done. He felt it was a heavy burden on his heart to seek this opportunity. And boy, Lord, you know we were attacked. Lord, you know, and the people listening do not know how much Satan has tried to, I mean, at the expense of my marriage and everything, Lord, has wanted to thwart this from happening. And it doesn't surprise me. But I'm thankful, Lord, that we are gathered together in your name. And just bless, Lord, the ministry and bless this word in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Each of our lives is a story. And with each new person we meet, we become a part of their story and they become a part of ours. The God who created the universe has somehow woven together these billions of stories into one story, which is the greatest story ever told. Aye, check it. Let's go back in time, brethren. Divine lessons. Always keep your mind guessing. The glory of the triune gods, what I'm stressing. The origin of humankind was fine blessings, were plenteous. God is amazingly generous. Crazy benefits in a state of innocence. God told the man what he could taste was limited. Not long after came my nemesis in Genesis. He scanned well. Man fell, damned to hell. The whole human race, he represented it. Fooled by the serpent, man through his work, woman through birth, even the earth ruled by the curses. But instead of awake, immediately God said a seed would be the one to crush the head of the snake. Yo, wait, what's this? Whoa, what gracious gift. In Jehovah's faithfulness, he clothed in nakedness. This was so they would know their Savior's kiss and bliss. But first many growing pains exist. Suffering in the worst form, ugly deeds. Eve's firstborn seed made his brother bleed. Indeed, things got progressively worse. Every section of the earth been affected by the curse. And though God's judgments against sin were gory, praise the Lord, it's not the end of the story.
It's the greatest story ever told. A God pursues foes whose hearts turn cold. It's the greatest story ever told. The story known that the enemy stole. It's the greatest story ever told. The glory of Christ is the goal. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest.
Next scene, man's sin was extreme. God gets steamed, man gets cream. The Lord is so holy that he drowned him in the water. Fire in the valley of slaughter, Sodom and Gomorrah. But at the same time, he's so gracious and patient that from one man, he created a whole nation. Eventually enslaved by the mentally depraved, they cried out to the only one with the strength that he could save. He brought them out with signs and wonders, satisfied the hunger. Then he appeared on Mount Sinai in thunder, where he laid down the law for God ruled government, commonly referred to as the Mosaic Covenant. Sins and imputed. So for man to know he's unrighteous, God instituted animal sacrifices. This was to show our constant need for atonement. And when it came to sin, the Lord would never condone it. And when his people disobeyed and went astray, he raised up prophets and kings to lead them in the way. But they would get foul with their idolatry, wet and wild. Prophecy sent them into exile to take their punishment like a grown man. Then with his own hand, he placed them back in their homeland. And while in their forefathers' land they dwell, they awaited the arrival of Emmanuel.
It's word. The greatest story ever told. The God pursues foes whose hearts turn cold. It's the greatest story ever told. Restoring all that the enemy stole. It's the greatest story ever told. The glory of Christ is the goal. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest.
After 400 silent years, filled with sighs and tears, in Bethlehem the Messiah appears. God in the flesh, second person of the Trinity, at 30 begins his earthly ministry. Baffling cats with accurate, exact facts, and back-to-back miraculous acts. A stumbling block to the self-righteous, but to humble his flock, said there's no one else like this. He came from heaven to awake the numb, demonstrated his power over nature's son. A foretaste of the kingdom in the age to come, but the reason he came was to pay the sum for the depths of our wickedness, our wretched sinfulness. Bless his magnificence, he's perfect and innocent. Yet he was wrecked and his death, he predicted it. Next he was stretched, paid a debt that was infinite. He said that he finished it, resurrected so the elect would be the recipients of its benefits. Through faith and penitence we get to be intimate. His grace is heaven sent, it never diminishes. Now the Holy Spirit in dwelling is the evidence for heaven's future residents, who truly represent Jesus, the author, producer, director, and star of the story that'll never ever end. Ever end.
From the Rock Podcast can be reached at FTR_media@yahoo.com.